Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Mike Berry, who's an attorney with Liberty Institute, and we're going to talk about a controversy out of Washington, D.C. Mike, thank you so much for joining us again on Vocal Point.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you.
Sure. And Liberty Institute that you're involved in is a group that fights for Christian liberties and liberty, religious liberty, which is really our first liberty in the Constitution. Although you wouldn't know it today.
Yeah, that's right. At First Liberty Institute, we defend religious freedom for all Americans, and not just for Christians, but obviously we defend the Christian faith as well. But the reason for that is simple: that if you can take away religious freedom from a Jewish person, a Buddhist person, a Hindu, etc., then it's very easy to take it away from Christians too. So religious freedom for one means religious freedom for all.
Yeah, but what's interesting is that in today's milieu, as you well know, because you deal with this day in and day out, it seems as if the Christian faith is the one that's being targeted the most. And let's take an example. Tell us about Washington, D.C. and the Metro Bus or the Metro Transit Authority.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example, just as you said. In that case, the Archdiocese of Washington, in Washington, D.C., which is, of course, is a Catholic entity, they sought to put advertisements on, purchase ad space on the side of the Metro buses that are ubiquitous around Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And the WMATA, as it's known, the Washington Metro Area Transit Authority, so the Transit Authority told them, our policy, which they just changed a couple of years ago, prevents us from or prohibits us from allowing religious messages on anything that will promote a religious message to be put on the transit on the Metro buses. What's interesting about that, as they said, it's not actually the ad itself that's a problem, because if you use the very same if the Archdiocese had used the very same ad in terms of the way it looked, the words on it, and everything, but it was selling something, they wouldn't have a problem, because then they're promoting, a commercial good or service. But because it is promoting or encouraging people to attend Christmas Mass and other types of, Advent celebrations and things like that, then they're not going to allow it. Well, that's just blatant religious discrimination. You're basically saying, if you're selling something, we're happy to take your money, but if you're promoting a religious thing, then we're not going to allow it.
I find this ironic because England is a lot more liberal than America is, and I was in England about 3 months ago at the end of September, the beginning of October, and I was shocked to see some Christian advertising on some of the double-decker buses. I took photographs of it. In fact, I could send you some of those if that would help in any of your arguments or whatever, but it just shocked me, and it was about Jesus, and it was like, ooh. But why don't you tell us about the ad itself and, what it was like that they were trying to get on the buses?
Well, the ad itself was actually really quite simple, but also I think one that would probably be very effective. The campaign that the Archdiocese undertook was called Find the Perfect Gift. And the ad is simply a black background that's made to look like a night sky with some stars, and it had some silhouettes of a couple of shepherds and some sheep. And it just simply said, find the perfect gift. And then it had a website, findtheperfectgift.org. And if you go to that website, like I said, it has, a calendar of events that the Archdiocese was sponsoring or hosting, including, candlelight services or Advent ceremonies and things like that. But again, very, kind of traditional, just holiday Christmas type stuff. And the transit authority said, we won't allow it because it's religious. What's ironic about that, though, is that they were all too happy to allow ads for the satirical Broadway play, The Book of Mormon, which is,
that's
some would
religious.
Describe it, I think, fairly, anti-religious, right, or at least making fun of religion. And then also the Salvation Army, which is a religious organization, and even ads promoting yoga. I think what's going on here is that maybe their denial is perhaps a pretext for some religious discrimination against the Archdiocese.
Oh, well, that's amazing. Is part of the Archdiocese message that Jesus is the reason for the season?
I certainly suspect that that's part of it, that's an underlying issue, is that they don't want you know, people to be exposed to any kind of overt religious messages. But again, this is a private entity, the Catholic Church, the Archdiocese, and they should be allowed to purchase ad space on the same terms as anybody else, you know, the Salvation Army or Coca-Cola or whomever. And to say, no, we're not going to allow you to participate because you have a religious message, you know, in the law, we call that viewpoint discrimination. And viewpoint discrimination, the Supreme Court has said, is unconstitutional.
This is amazing. I'm talking with you on the very same day that one of my brothers sent me an email, and it was an article from Daily Signal, which is a part of Heritage Foundation, but it was an article by you, and he said, this is a great article. Do you know this guy? And I said, yeah, I've interviewed this guy a few times. And then I sent him links to the interviews. But basically, it was about the founders and religion. How would the founders of America think about this kind of discrimination on the part of the Transit Authority of Washington, D.C.?
Well, I mean, I think the founders would say that this is so far removed from what they envisioned when they drafted not, you know, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, that they never intended to establish a government and a constitution by which, you know, the government was able to silence the voice of private citizens and silence the voice of private organizations simply because the message was coming from a religious viewpoint. And that's so far removed from what the founders envisioned. They envisioned a robust freedom of religion, robust freedom of speech in this country, and one, again, where it was all about Congress not establishing a religion. But in this case, we're not dealing with, of course, the government establishing or saying anything. It simply opened its doors to allow people to purchase advertising space. And now now that it's opened those doors, it's discriminating against people.
Hmm. Well, that is amazing. I mean, I'm not sure what their justification for it is, especially in light of the Salvation Army as a specific example. I mean, that's literally a Christian denomination. So in effect, they are discriminating against the Catholic Church as another Christian denomination as opposed to the Salvation Army. And by the way, if you say, well, the Salvation Army does a lot of things, you know, to help the poor, yeah, so does Catholic Charities and so forth, which is a part of the Catholic Church and the Archdiocese of D.C. So I'm not sure I understand the kind of the legal schizophrenia here.
Yeah, I mean, legal schizophrenia is a great way to describe it. In fact, speaking of, you know, schizophrenia, you mentioned that term. That was one of the things that WMATA, the Transit Authority, argued in their brief, is that, you know, like, well, you know, we stand by our policy, and our policy is really, you know, we believe that there are, this is their words, not mine, there are two halves of Christmas. There's the religious half and the secular half. And really, all we're interested in is allowing people who are talking about the secular half of Christmas to purchase ads, and we don't want people who are talking about the religious half of Christmas to purchase ads on our metro buses, which is just utter ridiculousness to say that there are two halves to Christmas. I mean, and even if that were the case, how would you even know which half somebody? I mean, can you get inside the mind of somebody who's wanting to purchase an ad and say, well, I think you're slightly over the midway point, and you're talking from the religious half and not the secular half, or vice versa. So it's really putting them in a position to be this, you know, I guess the Transit Authority is now the one that gets to decide what is religious and what is secular, and not the actual religious entity itself. They don't get to decide for themselves whether they're religious or not.
Hmm. The guidelines are how old? 2015, I guess, only.
Yeah, and so they were just revised a couple of years ago to include this new, you know, this unconstitutional provision.
And it says, quote, advertisements that promote or oppose any religion, religious practice, or belief are prohibited, end quote. Now, you, as an organization, Liberty Institute, you're not directly involved in the lawsuit. However, you did file a friend of the brief court, but tell us about the Archdiocese then is taking on the Transit Authority in Washington, D.C. by suing it for just, you know, for justice to be done here and allow religious expression.
That's right. You know, the Archdiocese, you know, as an arm of the Catholic Church, speaks for itself, obviously, and has its own attorneys that it's retained to represent it. But First Liberty Institute, this is an issue, obviously, that's you know, squarely within our mission, which is to defend and protect religious freedom. We felt so strongly about the issue and about what was at stake that we wanted to get involved. And the Archdiocese, I you know, presume, welcomed our support for them in the form of a friend of the court brief. And I think we're going to do everything we can to continue to support the Archdiocese and religious freedom every step of the way in this case, if we can.
Can you think of a Supreme Court decision that you could point to and say, this shows that the Archdiocese is on the right firm footing here as far as the Supreme Court versus what the Transit Authority is on?
Oh, well, you know, there are numerous ones, but the really the seminal case on viewpoint discrimination, which is, you know, what I've described earlier, which is when, you know, if the government can create a neutral playing field and say, look, you know, there are certain overall topics and categories that are off limits, but once you've made a category or a topic fair game, you can't then decide, you know, in other words, you can say you're not allowed to talk about football, right? But then if you say we're allowed to talk about football, but only if you promote the New England Patriots, because we like the New England Patriots, right? You can't say anything negative about the New England Patriots. And we don't allow anybody to talk about, you know, the Dallas Cowboys at all, right? That's kind of an outlandish hypothetical, but that would be a classic case of viewpoint discrimination where you've opened up a category, but then you're discriminating against particular viewpoints within that category. The case that talks about that is a famous Supreme Court case called Rosenberger versus Rector, and that was a case where the University of Virginia allowed there's a student newspaper,
yep.
And they basically said, well, you know, you can publish things in the paper, but you can't talk about certain things if you're going to be published in the paper. And, of course, the court said, you know, well, look, once you've opened the forum, so to speak, and it's kind of the legal phrase, you can't then begin to choose which viewpoints you're going to allow and which ones you're not. That's called viewpoint discrimination. And even, even if it is the type of forum where the government, you know, in that case, it was a university. In this case, it's the Transit Authority. Mm-hmm. Even if they do retain a lot of control over, you know, policies and guidelines and things like that, that really doesn't matter when it comes to viewpoint discrimination. You cannot engage in viewpoint discrimination when you're the government. That's unconstitutional, and that's what the Supreme Court said.
That's so neat. You mean that phrase, viewpoint discrimination, which I've heard from you, but I've heard it also from Jeremy Dice, and you're both from the same organization, but I've heard it from other Christian attorneys, from other, you know, Christian litigation groups or whatever that are fighting for religious freedom in this country. They've used that very same phrase, and it goes back to Rosenberger? The Rosenberg?
Yeah, well, the Rosenberger case was really the first, you know, major landmark case that kind of put that term really on the map, if you will. Obviously, the concept has existed long before that, but in terms of it, kind of the case that most folks will cite to for that, you know, for that legal principle is the Rosenberger case.
You know, this makes
many since then as well.
Yeah, this makes me very happy in light of the fact that I work ultimately for D. James Kennedy Ministries. And Dr.
Right.
Kennedy's, you know, our ministry got behind the National Legal Foundation, which I don't even think it exists anymore, Bob Skullroot, but they, I believe, shepherded that case. They might not have been the ones arguing it before the Supreme Court, but they were the ones that were, you know, fighting that and banging the drum on that. And it was decided in the 1990s, so it's not even that old. Maybe I'm showing my age, but anyway, that's so cool because this is really important. All right, we have 30 seconds to wrap up. Why is there this anti-Christian hostility, even seen at Christmas time, no less?
Well, I mean, I think it ultimately, in my opinion, it goes back to just a fundamental misunderstanding of what our founders intended. You know, along the lines of what we were talking about earlier, with the op-ed that I wrote, and it being today is actually the anniversary of the signing of the Bill of Rights.
Oh, neat.
And, you know, just the misunderstanding about what freedom truly means in this country, and that freedom and liberty is not something that the government controls and gets to dole out like it's a, like, you know, it's some kind of government benefit. That our freedoms and our liberty exist simply by virtue of our humanity. They're created. You know, we're endowed by our Creator with liberty.
Right.
And the government exists to protect it and simply acknowledge and recognize that liberty exists and to protect it.
All right, Mike Berry, thanks so much for being with us. God bless you. Merry Christmas. FirstLiberty.org for more information. Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.